This episode is sponsored by the On With Origins podcast. Learn how credit union experts conquer today's toughest challenges while driving measurable results. Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern, podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show. On the show today, we have BAI's very own Izzy O'Nelson. He's here giving us kind of an overview or some highlights from their 2024 banking trends from BAI. So really good stuff here from Izzy. Check it out. Hey, everybody. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our show. And on today's program, look who we have here. Izzy O'Nelson from the fine organization called BAI. Izzy, how are you, sir? Good to see you.
Doing good, Mike. Good to see you.
Good to see you. And so today we're talking about every year you guys put out this banking trends report, and this year the 2024 banking trends from BAI, and always enjoy talking to you guys about this because you guys really kind of set the wheels in motion for the ensuing year. So I'm really excited to talk about that. So I'm going to kick things off kind of in a big way. So what are the biggest priorities for financial services leaders in 2024?
Yeah, so we saw a couple of new priorities and challenges that popped up in 2024 that's different than what we saw last year. The investment priorities at the top are still centered around technology integration and platforms like they have in the past, mm-hmm. and customer digital experience. Those aren't new, but continue to have big investments for the institutions. And then money being spent on modernizing the institution's technologies and making it easier for their members and consumers to do business with them through multiple channels for different purposes.
Okay.
The investment priority that emerged this year, however, was fraud mitigation, which isn't that surprising given all those shifts to more digital means. Mm-hmm. That's making sure that those channels are not exposing the institution to the fraud losses throughout the account life cycle. And it also fits squarely into that digital experience where you can overburden the good consumer and member experience with a bunch of fraud deterrents. And eventually, through onboarding or normal account usage, you're disenfranchising that good consumer from bad actors. So tech and customer experiences are the big investment priorities. Now, we're also seeing some new challenges this year that we didn't see last year. Aligned with the investments, institutions are still struggling with that digital experience. That's why they're spending more on it.
Oh yeah.
Digital originations are about a third of the value of branch originations, no matter which metric you look at, in terms of balance or engagement and primacy, attrition. Those type of metrics all say that those branch originated consumers and members are still more valuable than those digital. So this was the top three this year. Now, acquiring new households also remains in the top three. As digital grows, households have even more choices and are not as constrained by some of the geographical boundaries that they've had in the past.
Yeah.
So what you do to acquire and the quality of acquisition, that continues to be a priority. However, number one challenge and priority this year, that the deposit gathering, we didn't see this in the last top three last year. And it wasn't too long ago that financial institutions were flush with deposits. And honestly,
I remember
we're in a spot where they couldn't effectively use them. Now, fast forward a year and the Fed increases from May of 22 through August of 23. That put a lot of pressure on the low cost deposits. And that caused a mix shift in deposits where we saw excess funds move from the checking and savings into higher rate products like CDs and money markets. But it wasn't just the rate sensitive deposits that caused the deposit kind of attention that we have right now to all of a sudden be interesting. The hot money moving coupled with inflation, spending more on the same, and then increased spending like travel and luxury goods, mm-hmm. as people were making up for the pent up demands from the pandemic. So those three factors quickly began eating away at the surplus of deposits, and that's now become the number one type of challenge that the banks have, one of their highest priorities.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like things are going to change much this year as well. So maybe in the latter half, from the things that I've been talking about, and you guys are well in the mix on that as well. So second question here, what are some important things to consider when creating a strategy to increase member acquisition? Because you talked about that digital member acquisition, because taking away the, it's all regional now and it's not just all based on a branch. So what are some important things to consider here?
Yeah, the first thing is, so a lot of the stuff I just talked from a 10,000 foot view, right, from the industry perspective. Mm-hmm. So you need to start to de-average the average. So there are different ways about going that with different segments. And when I say segments, you need to look obviously at like generational segments, because there's a big difference between those Gen Zers and the boomers, right? There's differences in wealth segments. So those that have more than, you know, $500,000 in investable assets, and more fluid type of assets. Mm-hmm. And even institution segments like, you know, large banks and regional banks, small banks, credit unions, legacy direct banks, fintechs, there's a lot of different things that you look at as far as the strategy is concerned to then talk about, okay, what do we want to do for customer acquisition? But I'll tell you, there's two things that continue to remain the same. Fees and rates are always going to be top consideration. And our data continues to reflect that, right? During the changing rate environment, you see some differences there, and will always be a factor for consumers when they're choosing their institutions. Now, obviously, like the wider the spread, the more it influences the customer decision. However, if you assume a competitive rate environment, so basically, let's assume that everything's within 200 basis points or 2 percentage points, and it's a competitive rate environment, consumers have plenty of things to look at. Then the things you want to talk about where the consumers are saying how they choose institutions is based off of reputation and rewards. Mm-hmm. And especially with that younger generation, they align their core values as much to their institution and make their decisions based off of aligning their values to their institution values.
Right, right. And I've also heard that the younger generations, they bank at several institutions. They're not like at one, they're like at five or six. I'm like, oh my gosh, how do you manage that? But yeah, just kind of segueing off your point there. So, oh.
Yeah, the data is showing that too, is that the younger consumers are more likely to have more financial institutions, less primacy.
Yeah.
Now, they still have some primacy, and primacy matters, but it's less than if you think about like the boomer generation.
Yeah, completely, completely. So what are the most important elements of member experience from the perspective of the member? I mean, how do they differ from the financial services leaders out there?
Yeah, so believe it or not, the number one thing across all generations is 24/7 service. And that experience is getting a hold of someone at their convenience and not the institution's hours is key.
Yeah.
So maybe for fraud, you know, I just actually had this happen the other night where, you know, 10 o'clock at night, I've got something come up and I need to get hold of my institution. So it's not on bankers and member institutions hours, right? Mm-hmm. It can be for planning. I want to plan something and I'm doing that at night because that's where my off hours are when the kids are sleeping.
Yeah.
And it can be for opening a new account because that's when they decided to go ahead and do something. So they want that 24/7 access between digital and human on their schedule. Now, the other thing that we've seen out there is younger generations want faster payments. Now, it's interesting because you think a lot, there's already real-time payments out there. Obviously, mm-hmm. the Fed just came out with that, and there's some other rails to do that. You think about like products like the two-day early paycheck. When the younger generations talk about faster payments, they're talking about like not waiting for things to clear. They want to get access to their funds quicker, and those are the things they're concentrated on. And then on the older generation, they just want an easy-to-use app. The digital jobs. Or the older generation is still the hardest to get.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great way to put that for sure. And so as we see digital banking continue to be a priority for both financial service leaders and members, how can digital capabilities be improved here? Because I think this is an area that's going to evolve till the end of time, you know, so and people are going to be iterating and constantly improving here. So what do you see in this area?
Yeah, so one of the things our data and our study shows is it's around personalized recommendations. So we all talk about the consumer or the member journey, and we think about, okay, we're going to go ahead and meet them where they are. But in reality, there are just still a lot of micro campaigns. They're kind of going out there to a smaller audience.
Yeah.
They're looking for true personalized recommendations. You've got enough information to know them. Go ahead and not just serve up an ad that you're serving to a certain group of people, but they want to say, give me the type of recommendations at the time that I need them and not just kind of blanket type of advertising. So the more you can get personalized with them, and I know the journey of one or the marketing to one-to-one has been a long time journey for the industry, but it continues to be what the customer's looking for.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing on the digital banking priority, I would say, is, you know, we think about fraud. We talked about that earlier. from a bank's perspective, because they're trying to reduce fraud losses, keep the bad guys out. But the consumer continues to say, especially the older generations, security and fraud reassurance is what they need to overcome in order to continue to use more and more digital at a rate that they would where they feel secure going into a branch or doing things in other kind of more analog ways.
What do you mean by overcoming? Some the hurdles they have to go through or the confidence they have in their financial institution? Or what do you mean by the term overcome?
Yeah, it's more about the confidence, right? Okay. So no matter how many times I tell my in-laws that they should, you know, use digital banking, they're, nope, we do a check and we go into the bank and we do these things. How do you get them over that hump that everything that you're doing, they will have no risk or little risk to using something that's going to be easier for them?
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Whereas the younger generation, I look at my kids and they're like, yeah, whatever, just go do it. All right. Got a frog in my throat here. Apologies. Are there any additional aspects of digital banking / member experience that financial institution leaders should be prioritizing that they aren't currently right now?
Yeah, so we talked about the 24/7. I think that's probably one of the biggest things to go out there with from a prioritization standpoint. And then I do think that some of that personalization is key. The one thing that I think all banks have struggled with, and this goes back to all things we've been talking about, Mike, is if you think about the issue with fraud, if you think about the experience from a digital perspective, the online banking experience, online account opening experience is still miserable. I mean, we do some studies with banks, and the net rate from if you take 100 accounts that were started online, only about less than 5, let's put it that way, only actually it's about 2 to 3, are actually finalizing an application.
What?
And so think about the number of consumers and members that you need to put through that funnel in order to get to a final open account. And even then, of course, some of the things like the balances are lower, they usually attrite faster. So how you work on that online onboarding perspective, so it's the get through the application, don't ask the same questions you ask on paper in the same format that you do from a digital, make it more dynamic, consolidate some of the questions, and don't make everybody think they're a fraudster when they're going through the questionnaire.
Yeah.
Now, the second part is, once you get them on, the same thing you would do in a branch. You know, how do you assess their needs for other types of services, other products as they're going through, whether it's a savings account or a CD or, you know, credit card, and how better understand that customer, not just to get them on and open an account that's generic.
Yeah, that seems to be the $64,000 question here is like, what's the perfect onboarding experience for a member out there? So, and there's still lots of work to be done in that area for sure, but it's getting better. But yeah, you're right. We still got a ways to go for sure.
Well, and one of the easiest things here is if you think about who opens up new accounts, and obviously there's things that you do when you're new to the industry, right? So of course you limit information, do verification, that's going to force you back into a different channel. Mm-hmm. Or you just moved. Well, what happens there is I can't validate the address you're at now because you just moved because you need a lease or other types of forms to prove that. And then of course the other thing is, you know, when consumers are frustrated or they have enough incentive to move to another institution. So those are the main reasons people move. And if you think about those first two, especially, that authentication process is hard. Mm-hmm. And so how do you go ahead and make different ways to authenticate that consumer?
Yeah. And that's another big, that's a whole nother show, I think, right now. So what consumer attitudes about banking are shifting by the generation?
Yeah, so consumers, so the younger generation, like I said earlier, they're more aligned towards that, who aligns their values, easy to use. And then, of course, the boomers and the older generations, you know, they're looking at, you know, convenience from a branch perspective. They're looking at low fees and rates, of course, because they've got, you know, if you think about a 2% spread on, you know, a few $1,000s, doesn't mean much, but a 2% spread on hundreds of thousands of dollars means a lot. So they're a lot more sensitive, obviously, to those rates and fees.
I bet. Alrighty, sir. Well, it seems like there's a theme here. It's like it's this never-ending balance between security and convenience. and having the confidence to do both or to be to manage both for sure. So, and I think that's going to be the never-ending question here that maybe one day we'll get it right. So, but we're getting closer. But yeah, I appreciate all this information. Anything else to add here to wrap up, Izzo?
No, I just, again, we're going to be in a now a higher for longer type of environment. And we've burned through kind of coming back down to normal when it comes to the checking surplus that we had. Mm-hmm. Now is going to be the time where we start to see what happens here kind of mid-year as we get back into some deposit growth, kind of the normal, what you see for the CPI increase, 2 to 3% a year. And then, of course, what happens when the Fed rates start cutting, you know, is it going to be this year or later the year or next year? That will also start to shift some things around again.
Yep. How refreshing will it be to get back to normal?
So, I don't know that there is a normal anymore.
I don't think there is a normal anymore. You're right. You're right. All right, Izzo, thank you so much for this information today. And then we'll point folks in the right direction for the trends report, because we're just getting the tip of the iceberg here on this stuff. Because there's a lot more here to be had, but always appreciate your information and look forward to chatting again down the road. Well done.
Thanks, Mike.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. This episode is sponsored by the On With Origins podcast. Learn how credit union experts conquer today's toughest challenges while driving measurable results.